Shalom Aleichem, welcome everyone as we prepare for Shabbos, Parshas Chayei Sarah, Shabbos Mevarchim, as we head from this month of Cheshvan into the month of Kislev, heading towards Chanukah and a time of Kreshes of redemption. Parshas Chayei Sarah, let's start with an Inyan of Mashava and perhaps go on to an Inyan of Halacha. Starting with a Mashava thought, Rashi, in the beginning of the parasha on Pasuk Beis, tells us about Sarah's death. As is well known, Rashi says the smichus of the Akedah to the death of Sarah is based on the fact that the Satan showed Sarah the Akedah, that her son was about to be killed, and from that she passed away. Now that's a double teller that needs explanation. I've heard our Shadim say that she passed away from great simcha, but it's not pashup shat. The Satan was not looking to give her great simcha. And the Targum Yonasan says the fairy, she was from Tsar. She died from the Tsar. She had a baby after 90 years, and one son, her future, to be a Klal Yisrael. And certainly the simple pshat is that she died from Tsar. So this needs a explanation. Number one, Rashi's style is not to bring stam midrashim, certainly not midrashim that are chidushim, unless it has something to do with pshat, or at least to teach us something. Number two, Sarah was greater than Avraham in the Vias. We have the Rabbeinu Shalom himself saying that to Avraham. So how could it be? You have here two people certainly close to each other in their level, and if anything, Sarah was greater. And here Avram is told, and he goes and is willing to do it. He takes a knife in hand and goes out to shecht his son. And Sarah, the opposite extreme, dies from the shock, the pain of what she sees. It needs an explanation. Rechai Shmulevitz in the Siches Musar of Toshin Lamed Gimel explains with an important yesod, yes, Rashi is teaching us an important idea. And this is with the Hagdama of a Rashi in Parshas Vayera, which is also well known. Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Avraham, Minu kachta es bincha es yichivcha, asher ahavta es Yitzchak. And Rashi says that he told him step by step. He said, first take a son. He said, I have more than one son. Es yichivcha, your one son. Abraham said, each of my sons is a Yochid Le'imai. Asher ahavta, well, both of them, it's Yitzchak. Take him where? What? And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to take him to Amaria and to be back with him there. Avraham Avinu was told la'at la'at, was told a little bit at a time. It was broken into him a step at a time. He was told to take his son, which son? And he understood it was something very serious he had to do to his son, but slowly, slowly, he got broken into the idea that it was because Yitzchak was to be offered as an idol. When something is broken in slowly, a person can slowly be mizgaber al ha-gaguim, in the language of the Siches Musa. Mizgaber al ha-gaguim. He has a personal desire, a personal nature, and if you suddenly tell him, go against your nature, it'll be a shock and a pain. But if he's told slowly, a step at a time, he can handle it far better. But Sheikhin Sarah was told suddenly, she didn't have the time, Liz Gaber ala Gagoim, to strengthen herself against the natural feelings. When something is sudden, it's a different impression. This is the idea. Now, obviously, this is a very important lesson in human nature. Very often, we're called upon to do something. Our initial reaction is, it's too hard, it's too difficult, it involves too much sacrifice, I can't do it. Even though God said to do it, it's hard, it's difficult. Liz Gabriel Agaguin, a person has to take the time and slowly work on the fact that he really wants to do something that's different. Let it sink in for a minute or two. Don't tell somebody, I want you to give up sacrifice right now, get up and go to the Beis HaMedrash for Mishmar. It's very hard. The person wants to go to bed. My person wants to go to bed so much, I don't know, but let's say somebody who wants to jump into bed. So don't spring it on him right away at 9 o'clock at night to go out. No, tell him 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Give him advance notice, and he can be mizgaber al hagagui. I want to tell you something that happened a number of years ago. I was giving a shiur, and in the shiur I mentioned that people like to be middle of the road. Everybody, in his own imagination, likes to be middle of the road. Among Jews in the world, it is that way. The Reform Jews say, well, they're unaffiliated Jews, they're very religious Jews, we're right in middle. The conservatives say, well, they're Reform Jews, they're Orthodox Jews, we're right in the middle. Mahabdul, the modern Orthodox say, look, there are Jews that are a form of conservative, that are not religious at all. Then there's the B'nai Torah and the Chassidim on the other side, and we're right in middle. People are very comfortable in middle. They try to look and they say, look, you have the modern Orthodox on one side, the Hasidim on the other side, we're right in the middle. Hasidim, they probably don't consider the modern Orthodox. They just say, look, the yeshiva light on one side, the Satmar on the other side, you're right in the middle. Everybody's comfortable somehow being in the middle, except for Satmar. Satmar is very comfortable. Being on the edge, they say, we try to do everything the best. Everybody else needs a little protection, a little comfort. We're in the middle. Somehow there's some comfort in being in the middle. And I mentioned that Yiddishkeit shouldn't be that way. If you're convinced that something is the right thing to do, who cares if it's the middle, the right, or the left? Who cares if people are doing it or not doing it? Do what's right. Forget about the image of being protected by the crowds. This is something I had said in a shiur. I got a call from a good friend of mine that summer. He told me that his brother-in-law had called him, given him the idea of taking a week off and going to Lakewood for a week, for Yarchik Halo week, to go to learn for a week. So he told him, I'm not that type. I'm not the type to go, you know, I have Siddurim, but I'm not that extreme to go take a week off and go away. When he hung up, he remembered what he had heard in the shiur. He remembered that he didn't like it at the time. He said, what's wrong with being in the middle? Now he understood what I meant. He picked up the phone, and he went. He went. If it's the right thing to do, who cares if it's the middle or not the middle? Who needs the middle? When you're told something, at first impression, it's not you. It's not me. It's too hard. It's too difficult. Who goes? Who learns FYM? You get up so early. Only extremists. Only people who are, I'm in the middle. I'm safe in the middle. Mishmer, who does Mishmer? Unfortunately, not enough people. You know, I learned something in that. I go to Beis Medrash for an hour. I have to go for 2 or 3 hours. What? No. You'll have that first impression. But afterwards, be mizgaber al hagaguim. Be mizgaber on it. That's the idea, the message of the difference between Avraham and Sarah. They were equally shocked by the idea, but Avraham had time. Mizgaber al hagaguim. That was a different story. Let's move on to a second thought. And the parasha, this comes from the Chassam Sefer, actually the Chassam Sefer HaChadosh. And the Chassam Sefer applies a beautiful halachic concept to something in the parasha. Eliezer, the great Shatran, comes to the home of Rivka and has offered food to eat. And he says, well, you chal daber, I can't start to eat. I can't eat. I have to do it first. I'll eat later. For it's some cipher. What's wrong with eating? And many things are accomplished over what we would call today a working lunch. You talk. Many people do that. That's how they get acquainted. Why didn't he want to eat and talk over the Suda? So to Chassam Sefer, a wonderful thing. We know that Besuel wanted to poison Eliezer, and Eliezer must have been suspicious that he's not in such a perfect home, not in the perfect place. He probably didn't feel 100% safe. Now, why did Besuel want to poison Eliezer? So we have a concept based on the Gemara Nazi Yudbeis. It says there, Ha'im l'shluchai tzevik kadesh li'ishastam. Somebody who says to a shliach, oh, fine. He doesn't say who. He just says, find me a wife. Umeis, and the shliach died. Bederech, on his way. Also, b'chol nashu shabayilam. Now, this man can't marry anybody. Whoever he marries might be the sister of his wife. He doesn't know to whom the shliach gave the kiddush. So therefore, Besuah wanted that by killing Eliezer, he would effectively make it that Yitzchak can't get married. Now, this is a well-known idea. Says the Chasam Sofer. Let's look at the whole Gemara in those Yud days. It's true. If you tell someone stam be mekadesh an isha, yashut all the women in the world. But if he said lemoke miyucha teilech, he said go to this and this place and be mekadesh an isha, then even if the shliach dies, the man is mut. He's not mut to a people from that area, from that neighborhood where the shliach was sent to go. But since the shliach was only given permission to give certain conditions certain people, he's mutter afterwards to marry other people. Dr. Sam Seifer, Eliezer said, look, I'm not going to start eating. Maybe they're poisoning me. And they think they're going to answer Yitzchak on everybody in the world. Let me first tell you. Avram said, Kim Avram didn't make me an open shliach. Avram said, go only to my land, to my family. Even if you kill me, Yitzchak will be mutter to marry someone, not for my family. And therefore, no purpose in killing me. Azay Zakhtach Sam Sefer, a pshat, a Gemhalik pshat, in Drush, in these psukim. Let me close with a nakuda. Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Pasuk tells us, Berech es Avraham Bakel. Avraham got everything. That's what we had learned. The Ramban is Marech on Koel. What Koel is? It's a remez, it's a site of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, what Koel really is. What is Koel? He says there's a midah of Hashem called Koel, and he goes off on an explanation, which is Kabbalistic. Otzkel doesn't translate it. Nobody translates because it's Kabbalistic. Reb Aaron Kotler Mishnas Reb Aaron in Chelek Aleph, page Kuv Dalet, has a brief explanation, Nigla, and what the midah of Koel is, and he says Gevaldik. He says there's a midah of Estakos, a feeling I have what I need, not being jealous of others, being happy with what you got. They say there are two types of being happy. One type of being happy, the person says, look, like Baruch Dayan HaMes, I really would love to have more, but okay. I accept what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me. God knows what's good for me, and this is that. That's one midah. The midah of Bakoel is a higher midah. The midah of Bakoel is when a person understands that he has everything he could possibly have. It's a marshal to someone who's writing a Sefer Torah. He gets to the last letter, the Lamed. He wrote, he finished the whole Sefer Torah. So he says, I finished everything. They say, what? Don't you want more? So what do you mean, want more? There is no more. There is nothing else. That's the midah of kol. The midah of kol is, there is nothing else. I have everything. The midah of estapkos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, blessed Avraham Bakel. The midah of satisfaction, of estapkos, what he had was kol. Wow, what a wonderful midah. With that, I want to wish everybody an absolutely wonderful Shabbos, a meaningful week to come, and Bezos Hashem, as we march into Kislev, we see Chanukah on the horizon, we start to prepare for that oil of Chanukah. We should be a clay kibble. We should be people ready to be mekabel that special oil that comes to the world on Chanukah. A good Shabbos to all.